Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Episode 100, if you are listening on my podcast, and if you're like, what? Where this girl be at lately? I have been savoring pretty much blackmailing whatever I need to do to get my special guest to be here on episode 100. And you guys, this is going to be a crazy episode. It's how to help a friend going through hard times. And my special guest is none other than my best friend, Jennifer McMullen, aka my Jenny on my phone. Alrighty, I'm going to give you guys a little blurb that I wrote up. So, you know, we might laugh, we might cry. This episode might get crazy, but you're going to love it. Jenny has been the sunflower in my weed patch for over 25 years. She's a goddess and is an expert in haircuts and color composition. She was going through hair school and did bleach my hair orange one time in high school. But, you know, hey, that's what friends are for, practicing. Not only is she a cosmetologist, she is an uncertified therapist to so many people. Helping others feel validated and loved is one of her many gifts. She's been adored by her high school 6'7" sweetheart of a man, and together they are lucky parents of two incredible boys. Amazing. They're very similar around my boys' ages, and they're so cute. Titan and Apollo, and one amazing little four-year-old firecracker, Phoebe, that I get to watch on Wednesdays. She's so fun. Wise beyond words and a master people person, Jenny's wake of influence knows no end. From an outsider looking in, you think, man, she has got everything. But she has not missed the hard boat herself in life. So welcome, Jenny, to my podcast.
Thank
episode you. 100. She did say last week, you're saving... What'd you say? You're saving your worst episode for episode 100?
Yeah. People are going to stop listening.
No, they won't. This will be their favorite. Okay. I have had so many people reach out over the years like, hey, my friend's going through this hard thing. My friend's going through this hard thing. What can I do to help them? But before we go there, I just want you to kind of give us your take on... you know, what it means to be a good friend.
Whew. That is a lot. I am nervous, you guys. And I promised I would never do something this vulnerable ever. And all of my social media is private and everything is private. And so opening up for Camille is kind of a big deal. Friendship is pretty easy. You just don't be a dick.
Okay, well,
so thanks, drop the mic.
Thanks for listening. For thanks for watching. We hope you all enjoyed the episode. And
there's so much.
Okay, well, let's start here.
Okay,
we knew each other in junior high and high school. Okay, and Jenny's life, like many, was a broken home. So kind of let's start there, because I think, you know, I know it's hard to talk about the past, but as you know, we all know our past makes us who we are. So to fully comprehend this beautiful woman, a sliver of a bit for this episode, I want you to kind of know, like, in a little snapshot, you know, whatever she feels comfortable sharing, like where she's came from that's been completely not ideal. So I'll bounce that over to you, and you kind of tell me, like, what, you know, give us a snapshot of what, you know, those listening, what your family life looked like growing up.
Well, let's see. It was good, actually. I think when you're a kid, you don't understand that good might be bad at the moment, right? But my parents divorced when I was very, very young. My mom had me when she was 15 years old. So she was a baby. But when you're growing up, your mom's your hero, right? She is beautiful and kind. And
her mom was my mom so was, gorgeous. Okay.
She just was, anyway, she was just awesome. And then she divorced after she had my brother at the ripe old age of 17. And then she married a few years later. My grandmother pretty much raised me, my paternal grandmother. What's going on here?
You look great.
There we go. let's see, do I have any pit stains?
No, you look good. You getting sweaty?
I am. I'm nervous. let's see. Where to even begin? It's, you know, unfortunately, I grew up in a home with alcoholism, and my parents were fun. We threw some killer Super Bowl parties, and I would make buttloads of money off of all their friends serving them alcohol, and it was good. I would go to church on Sunday so that I didn't have to deal with the hangovers and the football and the smoke-filled houses and stuff, so that was a good foundation.
Nice.
And then I got older and I just didn't like the feeling in my home. And then I met my sweet husband. I don't know.
How old were you when you met Brock? How old were you?
16.
16. Okay. So how far, I have this memory of you moving out in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I'm helping you and we're lifting, it's like a split entry, I think. Apartment, and we're lifting this big, huge couch over this sidewall.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock was there. And how old were you at that point?
17.
Okay. So yeah. Moving out at 17, dealing with not ideal circumstances. Jenny can relate to fractured relationships. I know we've gone over that, you know, relationship episodes in the past quite often, because relationships to me are what life is all about. And, you know, Jenny, you know, you had a fractured relationship with your mom for a lot of years before her passing. And how has that made you the mom you are today?
Oh, I mean, hands down, she was 100% the reason I am the mom that I am today, because you realize as a child having a mom that's disconnected from you or that chooses alcohol or drugs over taking care of her children, it rocks your world as a kid. And you realize, I think, the power that you have as a mother cannot be abused. It just cannot be.
And from my perspective, being, you know, one of her people throughout her life and all those beautiful celebratory milestones with, you know, pregnancy, baby showers, wedding, sitting back and watching this beautiful human that's sitting next to me, she's really made me realize what a gift motherhood is, and she embraces it like full throttle. Like, she really does. And we were sitting there, I guess, she does my hair. And we were sitting there, I remember, I think a couple weeks ago, and I said, would you go back and change it? You know, would you go back and change, you know, as some would say, your crappy or hard spots in your upbringing? Or, you know, we don't want to like totally go down on make her mom look like this horrible person, because she was beautiful and incredible, but drugs and alcohol do really sad things to beautiful, amazing people. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's people who are listening that can relate to this. So sitting in that, and if someone's listening and they're feeling like, man, I'm a victim, my life's hard, you know, I'm dealing with all of these things that I can't control, what would you say to that person that's similar to, you know, that you back then to the you now? Because you said something so beautiful when you were doing my hair,
What did I say?
You said I wouldn't change anything.
No. I mean, you are who you are because of your experiences. And I think even more because they were hard. I mean, people relate to hard. And it was funny because you asked me in the beginning, what makes a good friend? And what makes a good friend is being somebody that's genuine, that's relatable, that's a little, you know, chubbier than you.
We kind of teeter-totter back and forth on that one.
You know, you don't want to compare crappy circumstances or anything like that, but you have to have perspective. And when you're going through hard stuff, it gives you perspective. And you just can't change that. I wouldn't be the mother that I am today without the mother that I had, period, end of story. Like, and she showed me for a few solid years what it looked like to have a mother that was sober, that was there all the time, every day after school, that, you know, made my friends snacks and treats, and that was funny and joked around with me and teased me. And she was there for a few years, so I got this solid dose that just kind of sat in my brain. And then she flipped. I mean, I kind of equate alcohol and substance abuse to a possession, a demonic possession, mm-hmm. that sometimes can be exercised out, but sometimes it's not. And unfortunately for my mom, it wasn't exercised out. It just wasn't. So in the end, you know, the big guy, I had to take her in his arms and heal her up. And that's exactly what happened. But I'm grateful that I got to witness my mom being an amazing mom and then being a real shitty mom, mm-hmm. because it showed me point blank what kind of mother my children deserve to have. And I don't hide those stories from them at all. Because mm-hmm. my mom was incredible when she was incredible, but she wasn't when she wasn't.
Yeah. So that person that's listening, that's going through maybe addiction or suffering with, you know, alcoholism in their family, you would encapsulate, I guess, your advice on looking at the gratitude in the situation. And I think
100%
looking at what you don't have, what you can actually look forward to making right in the future in your own story.
Oh, absolutely. I think what you want to speak to mostly about friendship, especially when you're younger, is don't wish it away. Don't wish that you had another person's life. Don't wish that you were somebody else, because you are you. And, you know, Camille asked me, what does it mean to be a good friend? And it's just being you and accepting your other friend for who they are. And they're going to go through some major crap in their life. And you just have to ride the storm with them because they rode the storm with you. And friendship is a weird way. I kind of equate friendship to like a quilt, right? Everybody has this beautiful life quilt, and some of them are smaller and some of them are bigger, and you have these big fat patches, which are typically your childhood, your parents, your siblings, maybe your religion, you know, your culture, your marriages, your children, your careers are the big, huge patches in these quilts, right? And friendship, there's multiple friendships are the stitches in between all these patches, right?
I love that. That's beautiful.
And you have to help them. You can't be a patch, right, as a friend. And sometimes you have to take a step back and know that your stitches mean something, even though sometimes you can't even see them. They're invisible stitches.
Mm-hmm. And so many times in my life, Jenny has, her stitches are all over my quilt. Let's just say that.
And so are yours. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're invisible. And it's okay, I think, as a friend, to be those invisible stitches and not to get the huge, you know, the center patch in your friend's life, because their life is theirs. And they're honing in on these amazing, beautiful chapters in their life. And if you can stitch those chapters together for them, mm-hmm. you know, be that person in between that phone call just to like check in and make sure that they're doing okay with their working on their big patches.
So sorry. It is not over, you guys. It is still gonna go.
Oh my gosh.
That was my
it's over.
Technicalities here. Jenny has, let me just tell you, and if you're new to my channel, you're just popping into my podcast and listening, you know, I battled a diagnosis with my late spouse for 4 years of bone cancer, and I had three little babies. My littlest was 8 months old. Jenny's baby was, how much older Apollo is than Wyatt? A couple of months?
4 months.
4 months. Mm-hmm. So our babies are literally almost, they're in the same grade. You know, so we're very in a similar situation, you know, in life progression. And then all of a sudden, like, my life blew up. And this friendship of mine has anchored me through the years and through a lot of storms in my life. And without her, I don't know where or who I would be because of what I have learned watching her. And I always think, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jenny do? You know, like, she really,
sometimes
to me,
they're different.
She really, to me, is that standard of just this incredible, stellar human being. You know, Clint had 12 surgeries in 4 years, and it was in and out, getting ready, getting post-surgery. I mean, she showed up for me in lots of ways. But I just want to speak to a couple ways. So if you're listening and your friend is like going through something hellacious, whether it be a cancer, whether it be an illness, whether it be a job loss, whether it be a divorce. Oh, wait, those are all things that Jenny's had to support me through. But, I mean, God, she really got the short end of the stick when it came to supporting a friend in this life. She's had it hard with me. But I think for me, from my perspective, is her little by little reaching out, you know, texting me, calling me, even saying, I don't know what to do, but get in my car. We're going to go get a pedicure, you know, and just being there in my space was so beautiful to me to know that she was there for me.
But sometimes to that, I will be honest, I wasn't always there for her. So I think being a friend, a longtime friend, like going through the really hard with somebody that's struggling a lot, you have to check yourself and realize that you are human too. And maybe you're just a little thin or a little fragile right now in order to give them the strength and that they need, that they crave at that moment. And I think it's okay as a friend not to pull the plug. I think a lot of friends do that. When they find a friend that is going through major crap, right? And they just don't know how to reach them, they drop them. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I've heard of that a lot.
Because it's so hard. It's so hard to see your friend so sad. And there is nothing you can do about it. And most women, I think, to be honest with you, we're fixers. A lot of women say men are fixers, but I think women are fixers. Yeah. We want to come in and we want to cook for you and we want to clean for you. And what can I do for you? And can I take your kids? And what I found out with my relationship with Camille that has grown me as a human being, because I don't think, I dare say I have another friend that has been through more shit than you have. It's crazy. But sometimes you just have to be still. You just have to be still. And like with my mom, there were moments that were untouchable for me. And I had to give it up. I had to give it up to God and be like, okay, she's on your turf, man. Because I've got to get back here and I've got to take care of my marriage and I've got to take care of my kids and I've got to take care of my house and my mental health. And, you know, all of those things I have to take care of. But you never drop your friend. You just pause for a second and you get out the way and you let the other J take the lead, right?
AKA Jesus.
Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not all you. And to be totally honest with you, Camille knows this, I am not a religious person in any way, shape, or form. Mm. But there is help out there, and it's not just the physical kind with other people that, you know, can come and, you know, heal somebody's broken heart. That takes a different kind of power. So whether it's an energy that you believe in, or the universe, or Buddha, or Allah, or or Jesus, you need to get out of the way sometimes for your friend to receive this higher frequency that will heal their hearts. And sometimes I felt guilty as a friend that I didn't go to her aid, that I didn't go and pick up the pieces and hold her until she stopped crying. But, you know, I think sometimes you have to get out of the way and pray that they're going to be okay. And every single time Camille was okay. Mm-hmm. Every time.
I love that. Because it's true. Like, yeah, she's been my best friend. But, I mean, there was a couple years I think we didn't even talk. Before. I mean, when we were busy, new mom, she's going to school.
It happens. We are in that chapter of our life, right? Yeah.
That's why it took so long to book up both of our schedules. It was so funny. Yeah. Oh, this will work. This will work. Oh, wait, crap. I got this.
Yeah.
We have to reschedule.
I feel good.
I know. I have to run Gunner to football. Yep. But, you know, she's been there for me. And I know she's always there for me without her smothering me, without her having to have this high maintenance, whiny friendship that takes so much energy and time. And maybe her perspective, I think, jives, you know, that puzzle piece fits that I know she was there even when she wasn't.
Yeah.
And I know she's a phone call away just to know that her support is there because of the little things that she's done or said over time. Helped me feel supported. And I think that's huge. That's massive. If you have a friend that's going through something hard, just everyday friend stuff. It's not like this huge science on how to be a good friend. It's show up for them when you can in your own life.
And believe in them when you can't. Because they're your friend for a reason. Camille is a badass. She's strong, and sometimes she doesn't realize how strong she is. And so sometimes, as a friend, you have to back up and don't answer the phone call when they call, if you're in the middle of something. And know that she is amazing, and she is going to work through it. And then the next day you call and you say, hey, what's up, girl? How did you handle your shit? And she did. She handled it, and it was amazing, and we worked through it, and we talk through it as friends, and a lot of times we end up laughing about
a ton,
you know, what she was struggling with. Or I bring her a Xanax.
No.
And
no.
<Just kidding.
laughs>
No. No, that's never happened.
No, okay, really.
We'll probably have to edit
that one. Maybe one day, though. Like, okay. I'm looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about showing up and just being who you are. And like Jenny and I, if you're watching this on YouTube, or if you've watched YouTube in the past, like, you can go through my archives and find Jenny and I at the hip hop concert, front row, Vanilla Ice, DJ Easy Rock. Who else?
We were up on stage.
Rob Bass, Coolio.
I got a selfie.
It was insane.
Yeah, Salt and Pepper.
So if you've watched my channel for a lot of years, or you just want to be highly entertained, go pull up that video. And if I was like really techie, I could like point like this, and then all of a sudden like the video would pop up. But
we're not.
I'm not.
No.
It's not going to happen, but you can search that up on my YouTube channel. So a couple highlights that stick out for me is Jenny didn't have to say anything sometimes. And I think you get a lot of pressure, especially as a friend, when you're going through something hard, or you're watching somebody go through something hard. It's like, what should I say? What should I do? What should I, you know, maybe you just don't, and you just send a card in the mail. You know, like, she's done that for me several times. Maybe you just don't, and you say, I don't know what to say, and I'm super busy, but you're on my mind.
And it sucks.
And yeah. Over and over again, just those little tiny drops in this friendship bucket has like flowed to this massive container that I hold in my heart of all those precious times that Jenny's showed up for me. And it's not like these magical, you know, amazing things that only Jenny can do. Nobody can replicate it. You know, like, we all can learn and grow and model those little drops. We all can give. And when we give, we get back. And that's something so beautiful that I have learned being Jenny's friend, is she's given a lot to me, but I feel like I've given to her, but I've also gained so much in my giving and in my watching and in my sacrificing, you know, her as a priority when I can do it in my life. And it's been a massive anchor for me. You know, when Clint passed away, she sat there on the couch with me and people come in and wanting to talk to me, you know, and I'm just like, she stood there and held my hand and sat on the couch in the silence, you know, and was okay to not make me okay. And I learned from that, you know, I reflect back to that often when I'm going through hard times. And she, you know, even to this day, you know, like a couple weeks ago, you know, she's just like, Camille, you're okay to not be okay. You know, it's okay. And I've really loved that basic advice, you know, but I think we try to like, no, I'm good, I'm strong, especially if you're going through something hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be vulnerable and be like, no, I'm not okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
it sucks.
And she hasn't been okay. But she's going to be okay. We're all going to be okay. You're just going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel sad when you lose your husband. Yeah. That's okay. It's very, very normal for a very, very long time. I remember when Clint was in the hospital on hospice and, you know, they were checking him out of the hospital and I was panicking inside, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of her? What, you know, her person, I'm going to be her person. And Clint just knew exactly what I was thinking. And I remember I hugged him and I said, I'll do my best, you know, to take care of her. And he just grabbed me and he just said, you don't have to do anything. Just be her friend. Just keep on being the person that you've always been. But your number one is you and your family mm-hmm. and your husband. She's going to be okay. And so make sure that she knows that she's going to be okay. And it kind of stuck with me. Like, I didn't have to come riding in on this white horse and save her from all of her grief, that she's going to have to take it. And it's going to be hard to watch this, but you just continue to be the friend that you've always been. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be okay. And well, she
wise
is.
Wise beyond words.
Like, just, she's amazing, of course. Coming in here, Martha stewarding it, with her friend, looking like a supermodel.
Yeah, well, it takes a lot of effort and time on that front. And Jenny's magical hands yeah. on this hair of mine.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
They're starting to get a little salt and pepper sometimes, so.
I think I've got your appointment, what, 2 weeks?
I know, totally. You guys, if you think I'm not aging, it's because I got secret. Weapon
Look
now.
At this.
Now it's not so secret anymore. Okay.
And she
okay.
gets me earrings whenever she goes on trips. I don't trip nearly as much as Camille does, but I have earrings from all around the world.
Yeah, she does. Her and I are earring whores. Okay. If you see us on a day and we're not wearing earrings, something's off. Like our morning didn't go right. Okay. I want to end with this quote, and Jenny pretty much already said it in the beginning, but I love it. And it's Brené Brown, who is a goddess in wisdom and light, and I think just encapsulates like this episode of, hey, sit in it, live with it, be there with for somebody, but it doesn't have to be all right. You don't have to make it right. And I love that message that she continuously shares. But she says, quote, true belonging doesn't require us to change who we are. It requires us to be who we are. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when I think about Jenny and think about our friendship, I'm able to be the best version of me because I'm in her presence, you know. And even when I'm not, that who she is gives me strength in my life. And isn't that beautiful? And isn't that amazing? And, you know, being able to be vulnerable and show your not so great sides is what's going to attract your tribe. Yeah. Like, nobody wants a friend that, like, has it all together and has no problems in their life. But we all know that's BS because they're hiding it all. So just be you authentically, good and bad and sad and mad, and you will attract the right tribe in your life. And you will never regret being who you are, because why try to be anybody else? And so I want to thank Jenny coming out on my episode 100. I know it's way more if you're watching on YouTube, but we're up in the 300s, I think.
And then we'll do another episode when we turn 100.
Yeah, stay tuned for that.
Keep listening.
Every century episode, maybe I can get her back in on 200 podcasts. But remember, if you're going through something hard, if your friend is going through something hard, don't drop them. You don't have to devote your entire life to them, but just little drops into their bucket, little stitches onto their life quilt will help them stick together and help them push through their hard. And in giving, you will get in return. So there you go. We did it.
Yay.
Glad.
Go eat.
Let's go get some lunch. Okay. Love you guys. And Jenny will help me with my tagline here of, don't forget, no matter what, put on your
big girl pants.
Big girl pants. Bye-bye.